Star Wars.
Anime.
The Guild. Comic books. Lord of the Rings. Action figures. Harry Potter. Star Trek. Game of Thrones. Steampunk.
Okay, we have another fanboy confession today. We have Kevin Batchelder with us. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Kenny. It's great to be here.
And let's go ahead and get started. When did you know that you were a fanboy?
Ooh, that probably goes back to teens. Mm-hmm. You know, I was someone who found that while I did love sports as much as the next friend of mine, I also found myself enjoying some very, what most people called, weird TV shows.
Now, do you remember what show really brought that on?
Well, the first one was Star Trek, the original series. I'm not old enough to have watched it, you know, original air, but early 70s, I was watching the reruns after school almost every day on my local UHF channel. So that's what I wanted to talk about at recess, but that's not what the rest of the kids wanted to talk about.
I remember those days. So was it just like a phase, or did it grow, and how did it evolve?
Oh, I just kind of, as I grew up, I enjoyed shows like that, you know, sci-fi fantasy things, be it movies too. I was young enough to have seen, you know, Star Wars in the theaters when it first came out. Loved movies like that. 2001 A Space Odyssey, my dad took me to see, you know, probably in the mid-70s at one of the cheaper theaters. So I always loved that kind of stuff, and was always looking for other people who enjoyed it. I went to one or two, I don't know if you'd call it a convention, probably more of a trade show type thing in Boston, where they were selling stuff, and just loved that culture and the people I met there.
Yeah. Now, do you have anyone to thank for it? Was your father, brothers, mother all into this? Who introduced you to it?
My dad didn't really introduce it to me. He just was one of those great dads who supported me, even if he didn't understand it. I mean, he
gotcha.
He just knew that I enjoyed it. You know, he'd help me take me to the bookstores sometimes when I'd buy the books. And, you know, I could, nowadays, I could totally tell where he was basically patting me on the head going, "Hey, sure you want that? Okay." Because I tried to talk to him about it, and he didn't have any idea when I was talking, you know, Asimov or any of the other stuff.
yeah. Nice.
But no, I had no sisters or anything, so I was solo.
Wow, okay, so you just found it on your own.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Nice. Very, very cool. But what would you say some of your favorite fandoms are?
If I had to pick favorites, and it's going to be plural, and I never... That's why I told Kenny an email.
That's fine.
I can never pick just one, because those who don't know me, I'm involved in many. But I'm a big brown coat. Involved in the Signal podcast, Farscape, The Scapers. I did a Farscape podcast. I'm also big in the Legend of the Seeker fandom. Big fan of many shows. X-Files was a big one when I was younger, and most other genre shows, because I do a podcast that's all about all the genre shows, too. So I dabble in almost everything.
Everything, yeah. Very cool. Now, I know one thing that that you do that I wouldn't say a lot of people do would be Dragon Con.
Oh, yes. Another thing, and that's, it's funny, you talk about evolutions of being a fan. I had heard when I was younger about this big convention called Dragon Con, you know, where they do a lot of science fiction and fantasy stuff. But I wasn't sure if I would even fit in. Or was I too weird, not weird enough, whatever. So for many years, I had thought about it. And then finally, once I got a little bit into podcasting back in 2005 and started to learn about some of the online fandoms a bit, I took the leap and went and attended, and I basically came home. I mean, that was me and my 40,000 closest friends who were geeks. I love the atmosphere, the nature. I mean, there's lots of great conventions. I know, Kenny, you always go to San Diego Comic Con, and folks have lots of other local conventions they attend, but Dragon Con is like 45 conventions all happening at the same time, so it's just absolutely, it's like Nerdy Gras, I hear it called, you know, Geek Heaven, you name it, you know, 4 days of nothing but great discussions with your fellow fans.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a great experience. I remember going to Comic-Con for the very first time, and you just walk in and you just know that this is where you are meant to be.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, there's fellow geeks, there's fellow nerds, they're all talking your language, and it's just, it's a very comfortable feeling. It's like a utopia.
Yeah. I mean, for
nerds.
For a lot of us, you know, we nowadays we're able to interact a little bit, you know, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, online forums, so we can find a lot of other people just as passionate about these things as us, and that is very cool. And podcasts, you and I both do a lot of them. We get some great feedback from people. But when you can walk into a public place and all of a sudden see all these people who are just as, fill in your own word here, nerdy, crazy, passionate, who are dressing in costume or standing there arguing the latest Lost episode or whatever it might be,
yeah.
You walk away going, oh my God, I'm not alone.
Yeah, definitely. Now, speaking of that, did you grow up with any other sci-fi genre kind of fanboys or fangirls?
No, I was one of those folks, again, you know, back in the 70s when there was only 5 TV stations and no internet. I only had one other friend. He's been a good friend actually all my life, who was, you know, a sci-fi fan. Not as big as me, but he was a fan. But besides him, almost no one else could I ever have any conversations about this stuff with. They all, like I said, I'd bring it up somewhere and people would just look at me weird and I'd have to move on to start talking about the weather or something else. But no, it wasn't until I got much older and got access to a lot of this stuff online to be able to realize that, like I said, there are tens of thousands of us out there and not feeling like I was the only one.
Yeah. The internet has definitely done that. It has opened up your world to all these other people that you'd never realized were there. You're hoping they were out there, but never really knew.
No. And one of the fun things I really enjoy that kind of crosses these different fandoms and also talking a little bit about Dragon Con is every year now, since I've been going to Dragon Con for many, many years, I'll come across folks who are like, yeah, I'm going to go this year, and I'm curious what it's like. And it's like that deer in the headlights look. So we now start to do online blogs or forums, or like I've created a Facebook group this year for the newbies to be able to ask questions and have them all see each other's answers. So it's not like having to go through it all again. And I love every time when I see people start going, wow, this really is as good as I've heard it is.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
I'm not going to be weird if I have a costume or I start talking about how much I love, you know, Quantum Leap. I'm going, God, no, you'll feel like you're finally at home.
Yep. I mean, yeah, you're right. You can literally talk any topic, any geek genre, show, movie, and you'll find a group of people who are diehards for it.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to feel like you have to hold back or anything. It truly is a great experience. And I have not done Dragon Con, and I know I keep saying I want to go. And I know I'll get out there because it sounds incredible.
Oh, it is. I know someone like you would love it, a lot of our other folks that are probably listening in. I mean, that chance, I mean, Dragon Con does events and panels that start at like 10 in the morning. They run until well past midnight every day. And I have had some of the greatest conversations at like a Sunday night at 9:30 in the bowels of a hotel where it's being held, when there's only 25 people in the room, when we're discussing theories about Lost, and it is flying back and forth for an hour, and at the end everybody shakes hands, has a hug, and we move on to the next thing. It's just, you can't describe it until you've been involved in it.
It's great. Yeah, it is great. That's very cool. Now let's move on to how has being a geek, or how is being a fanboy, changed your life, or has it influenced your life at all?
The funny, and this sounds kind of corny, but I think you'll appreciate it. I was like probably many folks going through high school and college years where, you know, I wasn't the most confident person in the world. You know, I did not like public speaking at all. God, you know, talk about freaking out.
I know that.
So, you know, I did okay, but I didn't do great. But then once I found some of these fandoms and started talking a lot more online, like I was never very good at writing. You know, I wasn't good at articulating. Mm-hmm. I'm fine, you know, which is why I'm a podcaster, probably like you, that I can talk for hours, but make me type something up and I'll screw it up. But once you join all these forums, you have to get pretty good at articulating your thoughts in a few paragraphs when you're having a debate and discussion. So I got much more with my written communications. And then once I got into Dragon Con and found out they have all these discussion panels where, you know, the average fan can get involved after a year or so of attending, I said, well, I know as much as that guy does. Maybe I'll volunteer. And pretty soon I'm now on several panels discussing things, and I get in front of a group of geeks, and I'm at home. No nerves whatsoever. I just can talk and go, and all of a sudden, I'm now able to translate that to some other parts of my life, because it's amazing where my confidence came from.
Yeah. And that's from being a fan and from doing podcasts. I mean, you know, you're talking to thousands of people. You don't think about it as you're recording, or at least I don't, because I get too nervous. Because I'm the same with you. I cannot talk in front of people, but there's thousands of people who listen to me, you know.
Yeah, it's a little, it's scary and exhilarating all at the same time. Because, yeah, I'm sitting here, and folks will say, my recording studio, haha, the spare bedroom where all the clothes are piled up. And it's just you and I. But, yeah, we're going to have a lot of people listening, and I will eventually, either by email or forums, like you said, or any of these conventions, run into people and say, oh, I listen to your podcast, and I agree with you on this, but I disagreed on that. But all of a sudden, it's like I've just made a friend. You know, I just hadn't met them until that moment. I mean, you and I were joking before we started recording that we've been great friends for a couple of years, and this is the first time we've ever been on a call together.
And that's so weird. It's just so weird. Well, what's funny is that, you know, and I told you this, that you are one of my podcasting idols.
Oh, God.
You know, I mean, I listened to you way back in the Signal days and Farscape and Escapecast, and that's what inspired me to be a podcaster was you, and there's another one, her name's Melissa Anelli, she does the Podcast.
Uh-huh.
My buddy Rico does Treks and Sci-Fi. You know, there was a few podcasters I used to listen to, and I just was so, you know, just, it was just the coolest thing to hear you guys, and now I'm, you know, we're friends. It's just so weird.
It's
weird how everything works.
But it's weird in a great way, because I know whether, and we don't try to do it, both you and I are inspiring other people to realize, hey, I can do something like this. It's not that difficult. I've got a passion for fill in the blank here. We'll go do a podcast, you know, share it. There's got to be other people just like you. And it's amazing. The friendships that it's opened up is just exponential. You know, it's just amazing. I mean, the first time I remember at Dragon Con, it was so awe-inspiring one of the first years I was there when I had people come up from behind me, I hadn't even physically seen yet, tap me on the shoulder and go, I know that voice. I've been listening to you for a year, and they give you a hug, and I'm like, I don't even know this person's name.
But I mean,
you can see in the eye and the voice, it's just the sharing is just incredible, and it's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
What we do.
They do feel like they know you.
Yes. I mean, you know? And I understand, you know, I'm not trying to, a lot of folks need to, you know, maybe keep their last name out of what they're doing because of some job things or other things. So I'm not saying you have to be that much, but the pure enjoyment is just amazing. It's like a drug. It's exhilarating.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
I totally agree. I mean, that's why I continue to do it, and that's why I continue creating additional podcasts. And, you know, there's just so much of a need just to get what I think out there to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. It's
very cool.
It is. You know, it's an amazing amount of work sometimes, but it's also the satisfaction and enjoyment is what really it certainly for me, and I think for you and many others, it just drives us to keep doing it. We're not making, you know, it's costing us money. We don't make any money, folks. We're just, you know.
Very true.
I mean, every time I get excited about one of these things, I'll finish up and I'll go out and I'll talk to my wife, and she'll very empathetically listen and smile and go, that's nice, dear. So when do you make money at this? And I'm like, okay, that's never going to happen. But
yeah, unfortunately. Now, speaking of your wife, I know you have children and a wife. Are they fangirls at all?
No, not really.
Really? So your influence, you didn't influence them at all growing up?
Not really. My older daughter, who's now in her mid-20s, she and her longtime boyfriend, I mean, they enjoy, like, some sci-fi movies. We'll go to the movies together sometimes, you know, Transformers or something else. They kind of enjoy it, but they are not anywhere near as deep into it as I am. But I did have a very cool thing happen back in 2005 when, I don't know if you recall, back when Serenity, the Firefly movie, was coming out. They did some early screenings of it a few months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to score some tickets at a nearby theater to go see it. And I knew that a lot of the Firefly fans were going to come in costume, and it was going to be a line party. You know, they were going to get there early and make a big deal. So when I had my daughter and telling her to go, okay, it's time to go to the showing. She's like, what are you, crazy? It's like 2 hours ahead of time. We'll be the only ones there. And we get there, and about 10 minutes later, all of a sudden, these people are coming in costume with DVD players, and they're playing music. And she's like, this is like the greatest thing ever. So I showed them a little bit of it, but I can't say it's something at their age that they're spending a lot of time doing.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, at least you're exposing them to it.
Yes. Yes, they all get a kick out of, you know, what I do and stuff like that, but they can't say that they share the passion.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, being a fanboy or a fangirl is not necessarily genre related. You can be a fanboy of a sports team or a, you know, it's just being so passionate about a topic.
Yes.
You know, I think that's what makes a fanboy or girl a fan person, you know. So, you know, we're not saying that you have to be a sci-fi geek to be a fanboy or a fangirl.
No.
That just happens to be our thing. That's why we're fanboys.
Yeah, we tend to see a lot more of it, and sometimes because we never, certainly in my case, knew many people. It's just the awe-inspiring nature of realizing, again, I go back to the same thing, I'm not alone.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, sports teams or any of the other things, music, certainly my daughter's big in certain bands, and you know, she'll follow them around, so that's the same kind of thing there too.
Definitely. Yeah, because I mean, because, you know, geeks get like a bad rap sometimes, I think. But we are just like, it's our sporting team. Mm-hmm. You know, we dress up, we paint our faces, we do the exact same thing that sporting people, but they don't get laughed at or pointed at or, you know, ridiculed for. That's something that is reserved for, I don't know why, but it's reserved for geeks. And actually, speaking of that, it's actually changed over the years. I mean, you've been around as long as me. So we've seen, you know, being a geek back in the 70s is much different than being a geek in the 2000s.
Oh, yeah. I mean, once we had some of the big movies hit, Star Wars and a lot of those other things that made folks realize there's more of us and it's also inspired some people to get into that field because they realized it didn't have a stigma to it and everything else.
Yeah.
It's been very interesting over the years to watch it evolve and change.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say the last 10 years, it's really evolved. It's really become more of a cooler thing. You know, I mean, there are people, you know, there's debates right now in the news about people pretending to be geeks mm-hmm. because that's the cool thing to do.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's just so weird because, you know, back in the day, you barely said you were a geek or nerd or, you know, to anybody unless you knew that they were one also because you didn't want to be made fun of.
Yes, it was the stigma still, a great deal of it, because you had to spend half the time explaining what it was for those who didn't know. At least nowadays, most people, if they don't embrace it, at least recognize what it is.
Yeah. And now, why do you think that?
Well, I think because a lot of pop culture and mainstream media just puts more images out there. Even TV shows like, you know, The Big Bang Theory and other things where even if you're not a fan of it, you get a glimpse into it. That you didn't have before unless you knew someone who was. And let's face it, there are some of us, and I've been known to do it too, who go a bit extreme, which is what the media sometimes tends to want to focus on, is the extremism in anything, sports fans or geeks or whatever.
Yep.
So, you know, that's just the way the media always paints things. But at least it's more prevalent. People are more aware of it. They at least appreciate it rather than shunning it. So it makes it easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's funny too. A real quick story talking about sports fans and geeks. The last couple of years, Dragon Con's held in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend, and that's also been the beginning of the college football season. And there are a couple of very big colleges that are very good football teams down in that area, and they've had like an opening classic weekend. So, at one of the big hotels, there were a lot of the geeks staying there for Dragon Con, and a lot of the football fans. And when they intermingled in the lobby, that was quite an experience. Because some of those football fans were like, you people are crazy. And in the meantime, I'm turning to the guy going, yeah, you're the one all covered in blue, okay? And I'm the crazy
one.
So it was quite a good cultural exchange, I got to tell you.
That's great. That's so great. Very funny. Now, are you against any of the terms of being called a nerd or a geek or a dweeb or, you know, or do you just think, you know?
I at this age now, I think I've gotten used to all of it. But, I mean, I suppose my preferred term I embrace more is the word geek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with nerd, but I think geek is more of the description and again, a little more of a maybe media-friendly term.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hear all of them and I don't argue with them. When someone tries to tell me that's a label for me, I've gotten old enough to know, yeah, you're probably right. Is what it is. I just go with it now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you get older, I think you're more comfortable with yourself and who you are, and you don't really care what other people say or think, or as long as you're enjoying it and not hurting anybody.
Yep. That's all it really is. It's tolerance and willing to let people be themselves and enjoy that.
Yeah.
Related to all this, and we've touched on a little bit both of us, is how wonderful it has been the last 5 or 6 years to see the explosion of podcasting.
Because
I think that has allowed a lot of us geeks to embrace whatever topic it is, because we can now very easily get a worldwide audience together on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we get to experience it and get to, like you've heard us both say, feel like we're friends, if not family, with many of these podcasters we listen to on a regular basis and share that passion. You know, online forums are wonderful, but either face-to-face or in the voice, you can hear so much more of the emotion. That podcasting has just been such a big part of my life now and opened up so many more fandoms for me.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely podcasting for me has not just, I mean, as you said earlier about giving you confidence, podcasting has given me so much confidence, you know, that I've never had. And I don't know what it is, but I'm much more comfortable with groups of people now, like you, you know, speaking. I haven't done the speaking yet, and DragonCon was kind enough to invite Jenny and I, who we host Knights of the Guild podcast, and they actually invited us to speak and do a live podcast. And unfortunately, we couldn't do it, but, you know, well, I mean, just the fact that I considered it, that was really big.
Yeah, and it is, and that's, you know, one of the things that DragonCon does is an entire podcasting track, so podcasters get to do live shows, and I love to see those and talk to folks about them, because the very first one you ever do, be it you or me or collective us, oh yeah, I talk to them, and people are just sweating bullets until they sit down and start talking. All goes away, because it's nothing but your friends in the room.
Yeah, and that's what it is. You can't really think about this microphone that's going out to, you know, all your listeners that download you every week.
You know? No, that's the scary part. I don't go there. It's kind of cool talking about fandoms. The Signal podcast I was on for about 5 years, which was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And the Brown Coats, I'm not trying to put one fandom above another, but as many of you know, there's a lot of great people there. And part of what we do at the Signal is listener emails. We have people talk to us about how they got into Firefly or what it's meant to them. And over the years, there have been so many emotional and touching stories shared about, I still remember one where a family had a sudden death in the family, which was brutal and difficult to deal with. And they came back to the house and almost no one was talking. And someone in the family put on like a Firefly episode. And they all sat down as a family and had a good laugh for 40 minutes. And it turned into such a catharsis to talk about the loved one they had lost and how that springboarded into changing a bad event into at least realizing it's a passage in life. And I mean, that is just... I can't tell you how many takes it took me to read that one just from not tearing up, realizing the impact that something can have in an area it's not intended to.
Yeah, I mean, just being a fanboy or a fangirl, and finding that community, that niche that you belong to, it's instant friendship. You know, it's comfort. It brings you joy when you need it. Those are people you can turn to, and you know they'll be there for you, even though you've never met half of them.
Correct.
You know, and that's definitely a nice benefit of the fandom, you know.
Yep, it is. It's just it just continues to amaze me 5-6 years later, still on a daily basis. And I don't know why it still does. But I guess it's a good I guess it's a good thing that it does, because I still have that innocence of realizing how much fun we're all still having doing this. Because let's face it, you know, life's hard. You know, got to work.
Oh yeah.
Deal with everything else that goes on sometimes. And this, at least for me, is that little bit of escape of realizing that's my little safety zone. I get to go and have fun in, no matter what else goes on in a given day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I really appreciate you stopping by and confessing your fandom to me.
No problem. It's been a lot of fun.
And let's go ahead and plug, because you definitely are one of my fellow podcasters, and I keep competing with you. You do a new show, I have to do a new show. So let's go ahead and let's plug some of your shows that you're currently co-hosting.
Well, a couple of the bigger ones that I'm doing right now, the hub, if you will, is the Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV podcast, tuningintosci-fi-tv.com, where we discuss all the genre shows that are airing and news around them.
That's a great show. If you aren't listening to it, you should be.
Oh, thanks, Ken.
I'm so excited when new episodes come out, I literally download them so I can drive to work, because I have a 2-hour commute every day. I make sure that that's on my list. That and The Last Call, because what's funny is I don't watch half the shows you guys are watching, but I still find it interesting listening to you guys talk about them.
Oh, thank you. That's, you know.
You know?
You know, three of us having a good time doing that. So,
that's
the big one. Related to that, a smaller percentage of our listeners, but something I love, is something I call Saturday B-Movie Reel. If you're a fan of B-movies or the Sci-Fi Channel type of movies, I do a regular podcast on that one too. And the other one we do every couple of weeks, if you're a fan of Legend of the Seeker, is something called the Seeker Cast, where we discuss the television series and the books that it's based on. Those are the podcasts I'm spending the most time on now, and the other ones I've been involved in the past, which are great groups of people, even if I'm not still there, are the Signal and the Firefly fandom and the Scapecast and the Farscape fandom.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, come on, you got to catch up. I'm on three now. You got to do a third one.
Well, I do realize that it's not a race. But it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun seeing when you've got new stuff going.
Yeah, but what's great with, you know, that's the what I've been wanting to do. I've been wanting to do a more genre, encompassing podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do like a lot of different podcasts, but you know, with my Knights of the Guild, I'm doing the Guild, so it's really specific. With my MASH, I'm doing MASH because I'm very specific. So I'm trying to find that nice balance where I can do a global, more genre-related podcast. But there are so many of them out there, so many great ones like yours, that it's hard to compete, you know.
Well, but it's not a competition. I mean,
that's true. It is not. But, you know, but there are only so many listeners out there and only so much time. And there are some really great, you know, genre-encompassing podcasts.
Oh, absolutely. But I think, as you know, too, one of the main reasons why we podcasters do it is we don't care if we have 20 listeners or 20,000. We're just sharing the passion.
That is true. So, that is true. You know. That is very true. Yeah. Very true.
Yep.
Very cool. All right. Well, I really appreciate you stopping by and chatting with me. And I hope for the best for the future. And I'm sure we'll be talking about Dragon Con later on. Maybe when you do Dragon Con, you can come back and talk about that.
Oh, sure. Be glad to. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited now that you got this one off the ground. I'm looking forward to hearing everybody else's passions, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Great. Well, again, I appreciate you stopping by and confessing your fandom to me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Kenny.
Do you want to confess your fanboy or fangirlism? It's really simple. Just email me at confessionsofafanboy@gmail.com. Once again, it's confessionsofafanboy@gmail.com. And all you need are some headphones, a microphone, and Skype. And we can chat geeky things. So until next time, this is Kenny, and you've been listening to Confessions of a Fanboy. Confessions of a Fanboy is a Geeky Fanboy production and has a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Work 3.0 United States license, all rights reserved.
Genre television themes of all time. Tuning into SciFiTV.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
And I'm Brent Barrett.
And we're the hosts of a new podcast called Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV,
where we discuss sci-fi and genre shows currently on television and some from the past.
We're fans just like you, so join us in our water cooler and back porch discussions of your favorite shows.
And strangely enough, you can find us online at TuningIntoSciFiTV.com.
Be seeing you.
Wait a minute. Isn't that what Bester says on Babylon 5?
Maybe. I never watched Babylon 5.
What? So your sci-fi geek who missed one of the best shows ever?
Hey, no details, no spoilers. I'm still catching up on DVD myself. Besides, we're not really experts or critics. We kind of think of ourselves more like guides or sci-fi Sherpas.
I don't carry anyone's luggage, though.
Yeah, me either. We're what we like to call the viewer's digest for genre TV.
Yes, we're interested in the conversation shows generate.
And speaking of sci-fi Sherpas, where would you find one of those?
Craigslist?
Oh, see what I have to deal with?